And welcome to the Between Two Wheels podcast. This is Tyler Yonke, your host. We're going to do a quick recap of stage 13 of the Giro d'Italia. We'll give you a quick brief of understanding of what happened. Break, GC breakup, Russian interference, collusion by Belgians and the Spanish, and eventually the Slovenians, and we'll see what exactly happened and how that's going to shake out for the rest of the race.
Ilner Zakarin rides it up to the line, and he's going to continue all the way through to the line and beyond because he wants to take the maximum advantage. He's going to ride for GC. He's going to ride it through to take stage honours today. No time to zip up the jersey and compose his victory salute. He's thinking about the battles to come. But for Ilner Zakarin, this has been a beautiful and rewarding effort. It's a second stage success for the Russian in his Giro d'Italia career. Arms aloft at the end of 5 hours and 34 minutes of tough racing, and Ilner Zakarin has taken victory on stage 13 of Giro d'Italia.
Thank you once again, Between Two Wheels podcast. Appreciate you joining us in tonight. So what basically we had today was as I mentioned the last time, the Vuelta is finally kicking off, and finally we're getting to some action. And was today worth the wait, the 11, 12 stages prior to that with not much action? Personally, I enjoyed it. You had a last 20 kilometers of the race being all action, and what you really saw with that was the race hotting up, and you had quite a fanciful stage today. So start off, we started in Pinerello, which they ended in yesterday, all the way to Cerasol Real, and it had, I believe, let's see, one, and you know, we'll share this up here, one, two, three major climbs, categories ranging from one, let's get this here, a one category, a two category, and then finishing on a one category. And that last category climb was the one that took us all the way up to the top of the climb there at 2247 meters and 20 kilometer plus. They rated it at about 20 kilometers on the stage, but it really did start pitching up about 151K to the finish, and they ended up at 196. So, 160. Yeah, so right about there. So pretty detrimental for the overall leaders as far as how this can play into it. What you ended up seeing on the day was a break, and the break had some significant firepower in it. You also saw some teams playing these tactics of, I'm going to send a lieutenant up the road, and then I'm going to hopefully either connect to that lieutenant later on to help pace me up, or they're going to come out of the break and help the leader, the team leader, for whatever you have. And you saw that multiple teams tried some sort of variation of that. One team came out very successful. Another got away with something. And one other team just decided to just send them all up the road, and we're just going to gamble on that way. And that team came away with something too. So there was a lot of winners in the day, and there was a few minor losers, one exceptional loser. And you know, this, we've got all these mountain stages packed together. It's going to result in some sort of grand explosion, and race itself kind of culminating into this last, you know, week, or you're going to see a massive demise of some people. You know, we talked yesterday about Simon Yates saying that maybe he's losing fitness. I think you may have seen that today. It's spoiler on Simon Yates. Okay, so what actually happened? You had this break. You had Ilner Zakarin was in there, Baka Molimar, Joe Dombrowski of the EF Education First Team. You had Tolhoek was in there for Jumbo Visma. You had Giulio Ciccone for the Trek Segafredo team. They also had one other rider in there. I'm not remembering exactly who it was, besides Baka Molimar. And they, and Carapaz might have been up there. I know there was another for Movistar. There was another Michael Nieve of Mitchelton Scott was up there. So you had Nieve. You had some of these Trek riders. You had some riders for the Movistar team. So you had several of them look like you had toll hook. So like maybe they're going to either help the riders or come back if they needed to support them. Mikael Nieve at some point on the climb when they're hitting that 20K and they're really going out, Simon Yates gets jettisoned out the back of the main field that was about 2 minutes behind at some point, close to 20 seconds. But since he gets jettisoned out, they told Mikael Nieve, hey, you got to stay in there. So as it turns out, Nieve, Ilner Zakarin, Bakke Mollemer, they ended up trying to establishing the break and going on up the road and staying away, at least Nieve and Zakarin did, and Mollema. And Ilner Zakarin ends up getting the win, pretty significant win for him. He gets 35 seconds over Mikael Nieve. He gets another 120 over Mikael Landa. Carapaz, 138. Bakke Mollemer, 145. Rafał Majka, 207. And then that's where you start getting into the favorites. Well, besides the one we just mentioned there, and these are all kind of favorites at this point, but Primoz Roglic, Vincenzo Nibali, 257. Coming down here, you've got Joe Dombrowski, Tanel Kangert. They were 12th and 13th at 423. Jan Pollock, who ended up was in the pink jersey, started losing distance as soon as the climb hit, but he was holding on and fighting pretty courageously for him. UAE Emirates, he loses 439, but does retain the yellow jersey. So Simon Yates, 17th place, 5 minutes back. I think the real big loser on the day. It's pretty obvious losing 5 minutes. So how did that shake out? Well, when they hit the climb, Mikael Nieve is up the road. So he's presumably going to be helping Simon Yates if Simon could attack and catch up. But you start to see Yates instantly being distanced as Mikael Landa takes off. And Mikael Landa takes off, 14 or so plus K to the finish. It's a long ways. There's about two tier steps to this climb, major climb, a little bit of flat respite, and then they kick up again. It goes all the way to the finish, even up to the last 500 meters. You're still kicking up to the finish, a pretty hefty little steep pitch there. Either way, Yates comes out of that group. Landa heads up the road, and in the field behind, you just have Movie Star is not going to do anything. They've got guys up the road. There's several of them. He ends up connecting with Carapaz near the end, but you've got Vincenzo Nibali has Pozzo Vivo with him. There's really no one else that's doing the work. So you've got Yates behind. Pozzo Vivo's on the front. Primoz Roglic has Tolhoek up the road, and then Tolhoek comes back and doesn't do much work for them at all. Rafał Majka ends up taken off and up the road. They let him go, and he ends up not quite connecting with Bakke Mollemer and or Mikael Landa. And you had some other ones fighting back and forth, trying to get in that group. David Formolo had come off the front. He tried to hang in there. Pavel Sivakov of Team Ineos was kind of yo-yoing off the front of Primoz Roglic and the Vincenzo Nibali group. And at some point, you actually saw Primoz taken to the front, and he and Nibali, that was like a shadow. So for most of the day, he's just sitting on. Another big loser I forgot to mention here, which had some attempts to try to save the day, was Superman Lopez. He ends up 419 back, 11th place on the day, over a minute plus, minute and a half behind behind Primoz Roglic and Vincenzo Nibali. What happened with him? He was in the group with them, and he has a mechanical chain something. It wasn't a flat tire. He's trying to get his momentum back going. Can't quite get that. And then you have him basically getting off, getting a new bike, and then he connects with Simon Yates' group. Simon has a teammate there. They're trying to do some work. Jan Pollock is in that group. And he ends up coming through there, and he connects almost to Primoz Roglic and Vincenzo Nibali with a few K left. And right when he's coming up there, Roglic attacks, dumps him off, and I think that was all that Lopez could end up doing. So he put in a lot of work today to try to stay even, and did not attempt to do so. On the other side, the flip side of that, you had Mikael Landa, who did put in a lot of work, and he did make some ground. Now, like I said yesterday, or the last episode, he was 8:20 or so back before the stage 12's little escapade with Lopez. He took some time there. Primoz Roglic is not intent on trying to bring him back. Let's let others do that. Still is on that mode for Roglic, but yet you still have Landis on the offensive. Impressive win by Ilnur Zakarin. Mikhail Neve, he's come through second a few times. I think it was stage 20 of the Giro last year where he was trying to get the win and just did not quite get it, you know, trying to save themselves after you'd had Simon Yates kind of dumping himself out. You're getting the same type of thing here. So, you know, Yates, impressive Vuelta, but not such an impressive Giro this year, the Vuelta last year. The Giro last year, he was winning a bunch of stages in the lead, comes out. This year, he comes in, says everyone's going to shit their pants because he's so fit, and now he's lost some of that, and some of that luster is gone. We'll see if he can recover. You know, it's almost like, and look, Roglic at some points in this stage did not, in the last 20-plus K with their climbing, he looked like he was kind of just working his way into there. You know, look, some of these months, maybe we'll see Yates appearing better the next few days and can start to take some of that time back. But I think, is his chance of winning overall gone? Quite possibly. That's maybe it's something that has gone by the wayside at this point for him, and it's not going to be happening, because losing the way he's lost and ridden the last few days is not it's not impressive, and it doesn't bode well for what is going to come out. So what do you have for the overall? Jan Polak, Slovenian. So you have Slovaks. Is it Slovaks? I don't know. Slovenians. 1 and 2 with Jan Polak of Team UAE Emirates in first place, and then Primoz Roglic for Team Emirates. Primoz Roglic in second place. I also have Slovenia for Jumbo Visma. 2:25 back. Ilnur Zakarin moves himself up to third place overall at 2:56. Mollema up to fourth place at 3:06. Nibali actually drops down to 4:09 in fifth place. But let's, and Carapaz secretly coming up. He's up to sixth place. Remember, he was a third place finisher last year, kind of snuck his way in there. He hasn't been really seen much. Rafał Majka, Mika Landa in eighth place at 5:08. Sivakov ninth for Ineos, and 10th place, Superman drops down to 10th at 7:48. Yates all the way down at 8:14. So 8:14th, in EF Education first, now has Dombrowski, 17th place, 15:14 back. Hugh Carthy's teammate had a tough day today, losing more time, and now is at 13:10 back. So you're going to start seeing some of those time gaps, I think, accentuate more tomorrow. Actually, it may look a little bit different because it's going to be all in relative, I think, to Primoz Roglic, because you're not going to see Jan Polak. I mean, I think you may see him dropping, you know, let's see, 5-6 minutes. If he loses maybe 6 minutes tomorrow, you know, he's four. So you could see him dropping maybe out of the top five. So today's race was stage 13, Pinarello to Cesarello Real. It was 196 kilometers. Like I mentioned, it was three of those mountain passes. Tomorrow, yes, St. Vincent to Cormier. And it is going to be 131 kilometers, so a much shorter day, and does not look like it's going to be any better for the fair. It's got the last climb that they, you know, the 130, the last climb that they pitch is somewhere around 106 kilometers. And from that, you're going to end up basically being able to go down the hill, but then they do crest back up. It's a Cat 3 rated climb at the end, so I think you're going to see a daredevil from the, you know, 30K out. You're going to see this massive Cat 1 climb up to the top there at almost 2,000 meters, then dropping down for the Cat 3. And so if the guys are still together, you should see that Cat 3 race just a little bit differently. It's got a kick to it, a little respite again, and then another kick to the finish. So, but here's the killer. You start out the day at 13K in a Cat 2 climb is the crest in that. It starts at 7. So these guys are going to have to be warmed up. I think the break is maybe going to be, I doubt you're going to see GC guys going all out. And what you would actually see a problem with if you do that is that you're going to end up, the problem would be that you have, and there's the screen here we have, the problem you're going to have if you see guys like Primoz Roglic, his team today, like I said, he had Tolhoek, prior to that, he didn't really have much of anybody. And I don't know what happened to Sepp Kuss. You know, like I said, Louis de Plus has been sick and is out of the race. So, you haven't seen him. But if you get these early, do I really want to bring this up? But the good old day of Floyd Landis, where he took off so early in that stage, once again, was it a stage 19 of the Tour de France, where he won before he was DQ'd. However, that stage, he took off quite early, very similar to this. There's a climb to begin with. And with that, no one wants to go with him. Teams don't want to try to control that. So I don't think you're going to see Primoz doing that tomorrow, or actually other teams. Primoz is going to have to defend that. So maybe, who knows? It should be interesting either way. And, you know, look, those guys, they have that tomorrow. And then Sunday, it's 232 kilometers over to Como. But it doesn't look like the route itself is going to be as detrimental as what you just had the last few days. So a little bit different for the Monday before you get a rest day. I'm sorry, the rest day on Monday, because tomorrow's stage, it's got a little, a cat three climb near the finish. So it may be more of a breakaway day, but you never know. This, you pile on a bunch of the mountain stages, and then you have a stage like you could have on Sunday that doesn't appear to be that bad. It may be, a little more detrimental for the riders, for what they are expecting to have happen and what they're actually, their legs are able to do. Okay, well, that's the Vuelta. We'll see about that in tomorrow. One quick thing you got tomorrow here in, let's look at the World Tour. Let's just talk here first about the men's. We've got Masters Crit Championships going on tomorrow, and that's going to be here in Folsom, California. So I am going to be participating. I've got the Masters, the Districts, sometimes they call it the state, sometimes it's called the Districts Championships, but basically it's, for me, is the Crit Championships for the area, and I am looking to do the 44 to 49 group because I'm a 48-year-old gentleman, so I should probably get on here and see who we are going to predict. The weather is actually looking like it's going to be pretty good, so for me, we're doing, they've moved our times, they haven't, it's 1 o'clock for me. We're doing 50 minutes, should be a lot of fun, and I'm looking for actually this. Let's take a look at, see who we have some predictions for here. So in my group, I don't know that I'm so, am I favored? No, I haven't been doing enough training, so I'm not going to be looking to 45 to 49. That's the group. So right now we have a really good group that has been pre-registered. So 20, 30 or so. Scott Cox, he's always a danger. Let's look at some guys that we look at for the sprint. So for the sprint here, Phil Teixeira of the Cortex team, he's got a good one. R4R, Sean Smith, he's good. I don't want to miss anybody here. Dean LaBerge, okay. I haven't seen him out at the races lately, but he is multinational champion in the crit, and he can definitely have a kick. Tyler Yonke, he's okay. I don't really have a teammate. Jason Grafath, he's not. Chris Espy, I'm going to go through the sprinters here. First of all, the finishers. Jason Cruiser, Scott Cox, Jason Boynton can do that. Jonathan Baker, Jesus. He can sprint. He can do it all. So we have Jonathan Baker, Arabkin, Chris Espy, Jason Grafath. There's a decent field here. So what we have that's makes things difficult at times for a race like this is they block it out in with your age group. So as tested here, I'm the 45 to 49 group, and with that means that some of my teammates aren't in there. As a matter of fact, I have no teammates. A lot of these guys don't have any teammates, so it makes it a much different kind of dynamic for the racing. Anyone that does have some teammates, they can start playing a little bit of tactics a little easier than everyone else. As it was last year, I had to try to watch out for the brakes. I'm trying to get in some early ones, and right as I went to one and it comes back, another one goes. I try to go with that one, it comes right back, and then the next one goes, and that was the winning brake. So, you know, these things happen. We're not able to chase it down, and then for whatever reason, you're on the front trying to chase, or you're looking for a sprint. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I am pretty familiar with this course. So for that, I'm pretty confident, at least about my ability to have a chance to do something well. So that will be fun. Now, I think they're going to be combining some of the groups here. We have the 35, 39s. They don't have a big one registered, which is kind of interesting. These are the, I've said this before, these are the guys that are newly out of the P12s, and they should be you know, fired up and ready to go. Should be a little bit bigger field, but you're going to look at Josh Wood as someone here. Ryan Chepernick, my teammate, he's riding really well. Chris Flower, he's riding really well as also. Eric Nelson, Greg White. I mean, everyone that's registered, this isn't a big field. So Jose Cuevas. Yeah, Teams Mike Bikes, Philip Barros. So good luck for those 35 to 39s. I think they might be combining those with 40 and 44. Let's see if we have anybody. Michael Claudio, Jeremy Cattell, Brian Zimney, national road champion in that 35, 39 group. Masters, that's the 40 to 44, sorry. The 50 to 54, they got a big field. I think that's the big one right now. That's the one that's been kind of moving up over the years. So from there, Sean Bagley of JL Velo, he's had quite the season this year so far for being in the crits and getting a lot of wins. He's really got a kick to him. Dan Bryant, breakaway specialist for Pete's. Yutch Cowhee, he's got a decent finish as well. He's riding with Thirsty Bear this year. Scotty Fonseca, a very dangerous breakaway rider. He seems to get in the right moves. Jeff Gallen, he's been doing a few more races this year. He's been riding well. Who else do we have here? Rick Lawton, I rode with him at Chico for R4R. Ronnie, how do you say your last name? Levitt. Pete's Coffee, he's actually really fit and doing well. Chris Odd, his teammate. Rick Reinhardt, the defending champion. Nabil Saman, you never know what Nabil could do. He won a race a few weeks ago at Golden State. John Simmons, Nick Theobald. So Nick's a former multinational champion on the road. I don't know if he's won the crits, but he's definitely a danger because he just knows how to do it all the time. And they do have a P12 race at the following up at the end of the day. And I'm just going to look through some of the highlights of people who have signed up. Looks like SP2 Elite, Life Elite cycling team is getting a good group. Timmy's there, Nick Bard, Josh Carling. So the Tufts brothers, Terrence Trogberger. I haven't seen him before. Tyler Pierce, so the vegan cyclist will be out there. Looks like he's signed up for that. And Cameron Hawk. And I know they have Isaiah. I don't know. I haven't seen Isaiah signed up here. Other than that, you know, that look, that's a full squad. There's a few Cliff Bar riders showing up. Mark Pro, Willie Myers is signed up. Semper Poro, Justin Polson. That'll be a decent race. Maybe I'll stick around and try to get involved in that as well. Otherwise, you know, take a look at Nevada City coming up next week. So maybe we'll get out to the race tomorrow and try to get some interviews from some people. Look, good luck to everybody out there. Once again, we'll be doing some updates on the Giro as well. Tomorrow's stage, wake up early in the morning, check that out. Where do you check out your Giro? How do you watch it? Do you do Flow Bikes, Fubo? Those are the kind of the ways to do it. Do you do a pirate feed? One of the pirate feeds, if you want to check out Tiz Cycling, it's one of the better ones out there. You only have to restart it a bit. You got to, you know, pop-up blockers, all those other problems that you get. Russian theme here, I think, on the show tonight. That's kind of what we've decided, right? All right. Anyway, good luck with that. Good luck to all the riders. Good luck to those riding out in the races tomorrow. Juniors, they got some women's races, Masters men, of course, and then the P12 in the afternoon. So good luck, everyone out there. Thanks again for joining us. Stay tuned for more Giro coverage, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.